Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people, and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him, and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. Sometime back, right before Thanksgiving, in the Faith and Values section of the Tennessean, they ran a story with some things that they mentioned about Thanksgiving. By Ray Waddell. Sometimes his opinions are totally way off the wall, and sometimes it makes sense. It's easy to forget that Thanksgiving Day's big moments in history were born in misery, uncertainty, and death. Finding blessings in this chaos made the blessings all the more precious. The pilgrims celebrated that first Thanksgiving in 1621 after a much-needed corn harvest. Fresh on their minds were the deaths of half their population during the awful winter the year before. President Lincoln proclaimed the National Day of Thanksgiving in 1863. It came in the middle of a bloody catastrophe the Civil War would claim almost 500,000 lives and continue another 2 years. Still, Lincoln found much to be grateful for: an expanding population, the tide turning for the Union, a feeling that a beneficent father would see the nation through. Well, I guess many times it's difficult to look back at the beginning of Thanksgiving, and our thinking is, well, you know, everything was right with the world, everything was right with man, and so he was thanking God for all these things. And yet it was man turning to God, yes, in a time in which he was blessed, but also at a time when there were many, many hardships. We have many hardships today. We don't face near the hardship that small group of people did in 1621. Once a year, we celebrate what we refer to a national holiday that we call Thanksgiving. If you go to the stores, you think we're celebrating Christmas, but we're really celebrating Thanksgiving. And of course, for us as Christians, we need to be thankful, and we need to have a day of Thanksgiving on each day of our calendar. We're taught in the Bible to be grateful people. Colossians 3 and verse 15, as the Apostle Paul wrote to the church at Colossae, he said, "Let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you are called in one body, and be ye thankful." Later in that same book, the next chapter, chapter 4 and verse 2, he said, "Continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving." It's the will of God that we be thankful. In fact, that's specifically said in 1 Thessalonians 5:18, where the Apostle Paul, writing this church at Thessalonica, the Bible says, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God through Christ Jesus concerning you." So we're taught by command. We're also taught by example. If we look at the life of Jesus, we see Jesus is living a life of thanksgiving to the Father. In Mark 8 and verse 6, Jesus is noticing that the crowds that have come to see him, especially the crowd on this occasion, had not eaten for some time, and they needed to be fed. And Jesus gave thanks for that food. In Philippians chapter 1 and verse 3, as Paul wrote from a prison cell to a church that he loved dearly, And he said to them, among other things in that book, I thank God upon every remembrance of you. I thank God upon every remembrance of you. Many times during this time of the year, family gets together. And you know, you get together and those memories start flowing. And people start telling things that they had shared together in the past. So we're taught to be thankful. With these thoughts in mind, this morning I wanted to spend some time looking at several scriptures in the Bible that speak of giving thanks. In everything give thanks, as Paul said in 1 Thessalonians 5. In the 107th Psalm, in verse 1, the writer, the psalmist said, Oh, give thanks unto Jehovah, for he's good, for his loving kindness endures forever. David was the writer of most of the Psalms, and he spent a lot of time out under the stars. He spent a lot of time on his own. He spent some of his time running from Saul and had difficulties there. But he had the opportunity to look above him and see all the results of God's, or many of the results of God's creation. And he was grateful. He was thankful. He had time to think. And this is one of the things that he thought on, the blessings that he had received from God, that God was good to him despite some of the things that had happened. One of the scriptures I read across was Psalm 92. Psalm 92, verses 1 and 2, that speaks of giving thanks. Psalm 92, verses 1 and 2. In that particular psalm, the writer says it's a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord and to sing praises to his name. It says it's a good thing to give thanks to God. To show forth thy loving kindness in the morning and thy faithfulness every night. We're reminded at the outside of the outset rather of this particular psalm that it is a good thing to give thanks. It's a good thing to sing praises. And I suppose there's a fine line maybe between the difference or between those words as far as any difference. Really, as we give thanks, we thank God for what he does for us, and as we praise God, I think many times in the songs that we sing and the things we say, we praise God for who he is rather than for what he's done, although there's overlapping. So the writer would say again, it's a good thing to give thanks and to sing praise to God. We praise him because of his holiness. Because he's just, because he's righteous, because he's merciful, because he's eternal, because he is a loving, long-suffering, gracious Father. So we give thanks to God for who he is and what he does for us, for the many blessings. And I know a lot of times we think at this time of the year, I don't know whether as you gather together one day this week or one day during this particular time frame with family. I usually call on one of the boys, the oldest one likely, to lead in prayer. And there's a lot of reflection by that particular son on what has transpired in our family over the last year. And it's good to think about those things, and it's good to be thankful that we can gather together and can be together. Also, the psalmist, one of the other psalms in Psalm 30 and verse 4, he said this, and I think this is worthy of us considering from God's word this morning. Sing unto the Lord, O ye saints of his, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holiness. At the remembrance of his holiness. This table here, he says, this do, and I believe it says there, this do in remembrance of me. Jesus said that is recorded by the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 11. Sometimes we don't remember things like we should. Sometimes it's easy to go to the table to eat, to do particular things, to be involved in particular things, and not look up to God. I was reading some article that said, you know, a lot of times when people are able to amass to themselves wealth or many other things, that material things, that it's difficult for them to be thankful for these things. It's difficult for them to help others, which was the gist of the article, that the fact they used some particular words that suggested having a lot of money, having a lot of material things to a particular group. To another group, they suggested words that were more, that were of a neutral nature, and those who had been, who had heard in their presence words concerning wealth, words concerning amassing material things, were less inclined to be benevolent. I thought that was interesting, because a lot of times if we're not careful, we get to the point, well, you know, I'm where I am because of who I am. I've heard people say, and maybe they need to boast to some extent, but I raised myself up by my shoestrings. You know, I did this. I didn't have much education. I got this education, and my family did, and then I was able to accomplish this because of my abilities, my education. And yet we get stuck on ourselves, and we don't look out, and we're not as interested in others. We need to remember. We need to remember the source of our blessings. We need to remember the source of the very oxygen that we're breathing this morning. We need to remember Jesus. We need to remember the cross. We need to look back at all that God has done for us in Jesus Christ, and all that God has done for us down through the years. I know many of you have friends who are, and loved ones who are ill, which our family does too. And sometimes it's easy to get down. And we need to bring ourselves to reality of these difficulties we're going to be facing. We should help out as much as we can in those difficulties. But we should be thankful for the health that we have. Sometimes that's difficult. Get down in the woe is me category. We need to be thankful, and to be thankful is to be thoughtful, to be mindful of that which we received from others. I remember when I was in high school, had I not had the pushing from two Christian ladies who were teachers at that school, I don't think I was in any of their classes, but happened to go to church where I did. If I hadn't had the pushing of those two women, like the old fella said, I don't know whether I'd have amounted to much. You know, I don't know how much I've amounted to anyway, but I wouldn't have gone on the track that they were wanting me to go. I would not have gone probably any farther to school. And I'm thankful for those two ladies, for the influence of my mother. My daddy didn't give a third grade education, so, you know, he didn't know the value of education. Well, he did know it, but it was difficult there, but need to think about those who have meant so much in our lives, and to be thankful. Need to remember that. Jesus says to us, not only on the first day of the week, but we should remember Jesus, particularly when we partake of the Lord's Supper. We do this in remembrance. We do this looking back on what He's done for us. What He did for us upon the cross. And where He is now. Where He is now, and what He has promised to those who are faithful. 2 Timothy 2 and verse 8. The Apostle Paul, in writing to this young man, his son in the faith, he called him. He said, remember that Jesus, in other words too, but he said, remember that Jesus was raised from the dead. Jesus was raised from the dead. He was seeking telling Timothy, you've got that hope. Times are going to be tough for you. You're a young man. Let no man despise thy youth. Keep on preaching the truth. And remember, keep in mind why you're doing it and who you're doing it for. And where Jesus is at the right hand of the Father. He was raised from the dead. He's our Savior. Sing unto the Lord and give thanks at the remembrance of His holiness. In Psalm 119, verse 62, at first reading, at first blush, I think some would use that phrase, that particular verse maybe doesn't make as much sense. But Psalm 119, 62, the psalmist said, At midnight I will rise to give thanks unto thee because of thy righteous judgments. Why in the world would the psalmist, in this real long psalm that he's written here, why would he say something about midnight? Why would he rise at midnight of all hours and give thanks to God for his righteous judgments? Well, David faced lots of things, especially during the times he was out tending sheep. Most of the time, as I understand it, he was out by himself. He was a fairly young lad during much of that time. And he was on his own. There were wild animals out there. He took care of a few of them, the Bible says. But he took care of them because God was with him. And also, I think that midnight suggests the deepest, darkest time of night. Perhaps he was talking about the darkest and gloomiest times of our life, the times when we are needing to trust in God. We're needing God's help. Those times maybe when our faith wavers. Even at that time, and especially at that time, do we need to look to God and be thankful for what He's done for us, and we need to think about those things. Because some of the problems that we may be facing can drag us down. And we need to look to Him for that hope that we have beyond this life. I think we see a New Testament example of this trust and faith. In fact, the same hour of night is mentioned. The Apostle Paul and Silas are in the city of Philippi. They've just visited Lydia and a group of women down by the seashore. And I told them earlier in this class this morning that I've got this sore throat. I'm all clogged up and my throat's connected to my brain. And so if my throat's out of sorts, my brain's out of sorts. But anyway, at midnight, the Apostle Paul and Silas were in prison. They had been placed there, not because they had, robbed a bank. Well, they had banks, but not because they had robbed someone along the highway or something. But they were there because of healing a young girl, because of teaching in that city. So they were placed in prison. And at midnight, Paul is just snoring away, right? Boy, he's getting some sleep because he's tired. No, the Bible says, in that verse, I believe it's verse 25, it's in that context. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God. Paul, you've been put in prison for preaching Jesus. Put in prison for doing that miracle to confirm that you're preaching Jesus. You have the right to preach that. And here you are in prison, and you're inside. You're not only singing, but you talk your buddy over here into singing. Both of you are singing. You're going to wake some of those prisoners up, and it may get bad. But at midnight, they were praying and singing praises unto God, despite the circumstances that he found himself in. Remember later in his life in Philippi, Philippians chapter 4, he said that he had learned in whatsoever state he was in to be content. He had learned. That's a learning process, isn't it? Evidently, he learned that to some extent here. He's in prison. He doesn't know that in just a few minutes or so that there's going to be an earthquake. that he's going to be out, that he's going to be in a jailer's house. Don't suppose he's been told that. He's singing praise and he's praising God. And he's doing it at midnight of all hours. We used to sing a song and heard it sometimes when you was there, but pray in the morning, pray at noontime, and pray in the evening. And we might add, to be biblical, we need to be praying at midnight. Pray any time is what the song suggests, and that's what the scriptures suggest. At midnight I will rise to give thanks. No matter where we are, what time of day, what's going on, don't let our circumstances push us around. That's a big thing to learn, as Paul said, he learned to be content. We need to be thankful for the victories that we have in life, victories that we have in Christ. In 1 Corinthians 15:57, and I read that this morning in a class, connection with some other thoughts, but in the 57th verse, sticking together, Paul says to the church at Corinth, that thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. This is a great resurrection chapter. This particular church, its individual members were having difficulty with the resurrection story. They were having difficulty with believing in the resurrection. Paul pointed out some things that fell in their beliefs in Christianity otherwise if they did not believe in the resurrection. If you don't believe in the resurrection, he said, then Christ is not risen, because we've been preaching that he was raised from the dead. And you're saying you don't believe in the resurrection? You don't have any hope. You're without hope in this life, he later says that. But here, later, after he goes into detail about the resurrection, how our body will change, he says, you need to be thankful. You need to be thankful for God. He gives us the victory. Now, earlier in that chapter, in chapter 15, look at verse 54. So when this corruptible, talking about the body, the raised body, shall it put on incorruption, and this mortal shall put on immortality, then shall be brought to death, past rather the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin. The strength of sin is the law, and that's when he says, but thanks be to God, which gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Victory over sin, victory over death, through Christ, through his blood, upon the Christ, on the cross. And Paul would say, thanks be to God. Thank God for that. He said, don't go around thinking you earned it. Don't go around thinking that you merit it. Give thanks to God for these victories. We need to give thanks for the guidance and blessings that we're afforded from God and from his word. We sing the song, guide me, O thou great Jehovah, pilgrim through this barren land. We need, as we make our way with chart and compass, to have the Bible as that chart and compass. That's our GPS system or whatever they call it there in the car. You know, if that's how you get around physically, we need the Bible as that GPS, whatever, to get around spiritually in life. To know which direction to take at the next corner. Turn that way or turn this way. We need those directions. We need to be thankful that we have them. In the 17th chapter of Luke, Luke tells us a number of things throughout his book. His book is the largest of all, as far as the material and the words of all the Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, of all those gospel accounts. But there's told a moving story there of 10 lepers, and they were seeking to be healed by Jesus, and so Jesus healed them. Jesus healed them. Well, would they be thankful for that? Were they thankful for that? One of them, 10%, When he saw that he was healed, turned back with a loud voice, glorifying God. He fell upon his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. He was looked down upon by the Jews. He wasn't accepted. He was a dog. They sometimes would go totally around Samaria to get to Galilee from Jerusalem and Judea. Wouldn't even go through the town. Now, Jesus, he would speak to them. But we get guidance and we get blessings. And these lepers were blessed. And they knew from whom they received that blessing. But they weren't thankful. Just take it in due course and move along. So the response of Jesus to this incident is rather a severe indictment on those who are ungrateful. Jesus' words, were not ten cleansed? Were not ten cleansed? But where are the nine? Were there none found that returned to give glory to God, save this stranger? Luke's words there in verses 17, 18 of chapter 17. So it's needful that our prayers be filled with thanksgiving for the blessings that we receive and for guidance that we receive from God. We need to give thanks in everything. We read earlier from 1 Thessalonians 5:18. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. So this is a direct command that tells us to give thanks for everything. You know, that's always bothered me in trying to explain that. In everything give thanks. And then you think about some of the statements that the Apostle Paul wrote and made. The one we mentioned earlier in Philippians chapter 4, where he says he had learned in whatever state he was in, he had learned to be content. He was in prison at the time. Paul, you're incarcerated. The Roman government has you. You don't know what your end's going to be, and you're content? Well, he says, I learned it, and I preached it. I told those people at Thessalonica, everything give thanks. And I suppose we need to look at everything. Some of those things that give us difficulties are those things that prepare us for greater difficulties, for greater things. Those challenges that we get sometimes that are difficult to meet, to reach, and to do. Then that challenges us and prepares us for greater challenges that we're going to face in the future. It's hard sometimes to rebel against circumstances that we faced in our lives, isn't it? Why me, Lord, is what Christofferson said in his song. Why me, Lord? What have I ever done? He said to deserve things. Sometimes he might have said, though, why, what have I done to deserve this particular health problem or this particular financial problem, this particular marriage problem? In Philippians 4, verse 6, right before his contentment statement, the Apostle Paul said, be anxious or be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. I would take it that Paul was a praying man. And that helped him in his contentment because he prayed that God would be with him. Do you think when he was in that prison, when he was making all that journey from Jerusalem all the way to Rome, that he forgot that there was a God? I think he thanked God. He prayed to God, you know, God be with me. I'm going through some things these days that I don't understand. Help me in everything. Give thanks. There's an imaginary story of a morning when the sun didn't rise. 6 o'clock came and there was no sign of a sun. 7 o'clock wasn't just because it was cloudy. 7 o'clock, still not a ray of light in sight. At noon, it was black as midnight. The birds weren't singing. Maybe an owl was hooting, used to the night. Then came the black hours of the afternoon. And that night, no one slept. Some cried out and wrung their hands in fear. Church buildings were filled with praying people. And they remained there, many of them, the whole night through. Then next morning, millions of eyes, eager eyes, were turned toward the east. When the sky began to grow red and the sun rose once again, there was a shout of joy from these people. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And why were they thankful? Because the sun rose. The sun rose. The sun rises every day for us. The sun rises every day, and too many times we take for granted what that day means, what that sun means, what God means to us, and what responsibilities that we face during that particular day that God has given us. It's the day the Lord has made every day. And perhaps if the sun didn't shine for a few days, we would have concern. Oh, we've had things happen to this country where we were concerned. 9/11, 2001, all were gathered around televisions. Was this it? Maybe. Did you pray? Did you pray? Were more people praying? What for? For God? For security? Security that we never had. Because we didn't trust in God for that security. Many trusted in themselves, and that was gone. Trust himself. Be thankful. Learn in whatever state that we find ourselves in to be content. And it's a learning thing. It's a learning thing. This morning, if you're here and not a Christian, why not come to Christ today? Have you studied with someone about Christ? About your life? About your salvation? Have you studied on your own God's Word, the Gospel accounts? You know that Jesus came to this life, lived a perfect life on this earth and left an example for us? That on the cross He died for my sins, for your sins, shedding His blood. And that He was placed in that grave, but He didn't stay there. There was an open, empty tomb on that next Sunday morning. And He arose. Victorious over the grave, which we one day will be victorious. So in that we see our promise, our hope. As Christians, if you desire the prayers of this congregation this morning, if you wish to rededicate your life to Christ, why not this morning as we stand, as we sing?
There's a great day coming, a great day coming, there's a great day coming.